The Patent and Trademark Office says it may need 18 months to recover from sequestration. PTO offers a rare look inside the real impact of these automatic budget cuts. In its biweekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller talks about how sequestration took a bite out of one of PTO's top technology priorities. Hi, Jason.
Can you hear me?
So first of all, let's look at PTO because it's funded by user fees. So why was it even impacted by sequestration?
And you're absolutely right. And this is why I think this is such a fascinating story and why I decided to write about it inside the Reporter's Notebook this week. PTO gets, you know, 98, almost 100% of all their money from user fees. But so last year, the White House came down and said to PTO, hey, despite this, you still need to cut $148 million from your budget. Oh, and by the way, you have 6 months to do it. Well, Tony Scardino is the PTO chief financial officer, and he, got together with all the big brains over there at PTO and said, okay, how are we going to do this? And the first thing that came down from the top-level executives was, well, we depend on user fees, so we're not going to cut anything that makes us money. As an example, a lot of agencies did furloughs. They said, we can't do furloughs. If we do a furlough, we're going to cut into our revenue stream, and we can't do that because that's the way we keep the lights on. That's the way we pay for things, whatever that is that they do. So as they looked at more and more, okay, where can we cut? It came down to, the simple stuff, hiring freezes, training, travel. But that's piddly. I mean, if you think about it, they don't spend a ton of money on it, and you're talking about $148 million. So Tony Scardino, again, the CFO, says, you know what? We're going to have to cut out our IT projects. And, in fact, they took $80 million out of IT projects that were just in the works, that were, being run by vendors, and actually ended up letting go. And we'll put that in quotes because no one really got fired. They just ended contracts or suspended contracts of about 500 vendor employees, including 300 of them that run or that were part of the end-to-end patent, system, the update one. If you remember that, that's the system that President Barack Obama called out in his 2011 State of the Union address as being so important, such a big deal. Now, in the end, PTO kept about a skeleton crew of 10 contract employees working on that patent end-to-end program. And, in fact, during the sequestration and shutdown, 4 of those 10 actually left to take more stable jobs. So here we go. We're cutting contractors. We're cutting the budget. We're only keeping the 10, contractors to keep it going, then 4 leave. It just was a fascinating look at what happens to such a big program. And then he says, and this was what I think became, kind of more fascinating about this. He goes, sequestration ended. The budget gets passed. Shutdown is over. But it's going to take them 18 months to make up for that 6 months cut/shutdown. And that 18 months is because it's just going to take a long time to rehire, retrain, get people back on track.
All right, now, Jason, let's back up just a minute here. Is this unusual, or does the sequestration law apply to funds regardless of whether they're raised through fees or appropriated?
Well, initially, I think a lot of people were just thinking it was only going to be appropriations, but because I guess the lawyers and such did their job and looked at the language and said, no, this is going to apply to an agency like PTO that does take on user fees, and that's why they had to cut that $148 million.
All right, so the 18 months then to recovery, that's their estimate, and what's causing, what do they consider recovery point to be after 18 months?
Right, I think it's getting back up to that level of vendor involvement. I think it's getting back up to that amount of people that are working on the program to really get the program humming along to where it was. Now, again, they're doing everything they can to get the end-to-end patent system working as best as it can. But I think Tony was using this as an example to say, to hire back those 500 vendors, 300 of them on that one system, sometimes, contractors lose people. They move on to new jobs. Sometimes new projects start and they move people around. Sometimes you have to rerun the contract. You just can't start and stop the contract. And even if you can, there's a time lapse there that does take an impact into the project. So I think the way he laid it out and what he presented is just a look into a program, a very important program, a very high profile program that you don't get to see too often. The government doesn't talk about, usually when I've done stories over the last few months about sequestration, its impact, it's, oh, no, it took a couple weeks or you know, we're getting there, things are fine. But nobody ever kind of – it was much more candid than I've seen in the past.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. But, Jason, a cynic might say, if this patent end-to-end program were so important, why wasn't it staffed by agency employees as opposed to contractors?
Because I think over the last decade, 15 years, agencies generally speaking, this is aside from PTO, have outsourced so much of those important programs because they just don't, they can't hire quickly enough, they can't pay people enough, and in the end, going with the contract route just makes more sense. They also can, if you will, turn it up and turn it down, meaning if they need more people for 3 or 4 months, they can bring in more contractors, and if they finish that development cycle, they can let those people go, so to speak, you know, they can kind of turn it back down. And I think that, that with federal employees, it's much harder to do that. And you actually do need a more stable, you know, set of programs and projects. And I think the other piece of that, Emily, is, well, if it was so important, why does it fall under sequestration? Why they just figure out a way to keep it going? And what it comes down to is they had no choices. I mean, the money only went into administrative areas, and that was the biggest one.
All right, and just on another topic in your potpourri of the Reporter's Notebook every week, this one you're talking about cybersecurity, and OMB has taken a look at progress of agencies. Have they made any progress?
I hope so. I mean, with all these latest cyber attacks, you hope so, right? Well, this one, this is their annual Federal Information Security Management Report, and this is a report they send to Congress every year, and I think – you know, five of us read it, and I'm one of those five, and, you know, it makes me happy every time it comes out. You know, it's one of those exciting times during the year. And I thought the most interesting thing that popped out of this was Homeland Security Presidential Directive 12, HSPD 12. Those are the smart cards that nearly every federal employee finally has that they use to get in their office. Now, how they use it, that's a whole different discussion.
They shimmy the lock with the card, or does it actually do something else?
Exactly, or they just flash it, right? Hey, look, it's still me on this, the picture's still me, or they actually use it for physical access control. But this one focused on logical access control. Now, Tom, I'm gonna throw this at you because Emily, you weren't quite covering this government space yet. So, August 2004. Where were you, Tom Temin?
August 20th of 04.
Oh, no, just August 2004.
August 20.
04.
04.
Yeah.
What year is it now? 14.
Yeah.
August 2004. I must have been in my office downtown.
Yeah, you're probably yelling at me for something.
Probably.
But
is that the date of the TWIC card initiative?
Well, that's the date of HSPD 12.
HSPD 12,
initiative.
Right?
Yes,
which led
yes.
to the TWIC card.
Right. So it's been 10 years almost. August will be 10 years. And how much progress have agencies made in that 10 years? And if you look at what this latest report says, is not a whole lot of progress. And in many ways, it's very disappointing by the lack of progress that the agencies have made. Now, the good news is, compared to last year, they are definitely up. About 67% of all agencies have deployed what they call logical access, meaning you need your HSPD 12 card, your smart card, to log onto your computer network. But here we are 10 years later, and it's only 67%. And I think that's a major problem considering, and I think this is the key factor here. The Department of Defense instituted their version of HSPD 12, their CAC card for logical access, back in 2007, so 2007, and they saw an immediate benefit, something like 50% fewer cyber attacks right off the bat. And they've talked about this quite often. So that in itself has shown that by using this for logical access, things are safer. But here we are in 2014. And agencies are only at 67%. And if you go down and delve into the report, which I did, they go through, okay, so how many agencies are really using it? 13 agencies reported a 6% or better use of HSPD 12. 3 agencies reported 30%. 5 agencies reported 66%. Now, of those 11 remaining agencies, 2 reported 1 to 4%. And the rest, 9 reported 0%. I mean, they're not even trying.
Some of them say, what's an HSPD 12 card?
Well, no, they know what they are because almost 97% or 98% of all federal employees have them. Now, the other point I'll just make very quickly is, it's not that they don't care, But there's a money issue. It's a leadership issue. And I think it's an OMB issue. And I don't think all those things have come together around this very quickly. And now here we are in 2014. And one could argue HSPD-12 maybe needs a rewrite, maybe needs an update, because technology changes so quickly. And I know that NIST has done a fairly good job of keeping the standards around HSPD-12 going forward. But at the same time, I'll call it disappointing of one of the most disappointing initiatives because of how long it's taken.
All right, Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, so thank you so much for that report. And you can read Inside the Reporter's Notebook. You post that every 2 weeks, right?
Every 2 weeks. And Jared Serbo is doing Inside the DOD Reporter's Notebook. So now we're looking at every week somebody's going inside their notebook.
All right, good. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.